Good morning, church. It's good to see you all. We're going to be in Proverbs mostly this morning, so you can turn to Proverbs chapter 18. We'll be there in just a minute. I need to send this PowerPoint to Eldon. 1 minute. All right. This morning, I want to talk about really kind of a springboard parable, and we're going to notice a lot of things in the parable or in the Proverbs about this particular parable and what it has to say, and talking about our words and the things that we say, the importance of those, the weight that is behind our words, and how we need to kind of approach the power that God has really given us with the things we say. So I want to start with Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, kind of a springboard idea for us as we look at different ideas this morning. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." This proverb is really just saying something that I think we already know, but I want to spend a lot of time this morning really analyzing and describing what it's actually saying, that our words are powerful. The things that we say have great impact, great influence, and really affect our lives, but also the lives of the people that hear them in really drastic ways. And you think back in your life, just to kind of illustrate it, I was trying to do this myself, some of the big moments that really stand out to me in my life have to do with the things that somebody said to me. You know, some of the things that the ways that I view myself, the things that I think about myself have to do with what somebody said about me in previous years in my life. So some of the insecurities that I have about myself is maybe because of something that someone said to me that was unkind, that really stuck with me, whether it was true or not. It started affecting and morphing the things that I did, the things that I thought about, how I viewed what I was capable of doing in the future. And also, on a positive spin, things that people have said to me positively have really helped motivate me and help me to grow and get kind of positive momentum in my life. But those are things that really stuck with me in my life. And I'm sure you can think of some things that maybe people have said to you, either positive or negative, that stay with us, that either bring us down or bolster us up. And that just illustrates the weight behind our words. And so I want to think about this morning, among other things, how our words have affected other people. If I can look back in my life at some of the things that people have said to me and either appreciate them or really kind of resent them, when people look back at their lives, do they look at the words that I've said to them as positive or negative? How have the things that I've said really changed someone's life, kind of planting that seed in their life? You know, either maybe things that I've said that were like in jest or a joke to them, or maybe being critical of them, have that really negatively affected that person? And I hope that I could say that there are a whole lot more positive things that I've said that have positively affected someone's life. So we're going to kind of discuss that. And I want to first start by just looking at the power of our words, what the Bible teaches that our words are capable of doing. And then like what this proverb in Proverbs 18:21 says, that death and life are bound up in our tongue, they're bound up in the words that we say. I want to look through Proverbs at some of the death words that we need to watch out for, things that bring death, and then also the life words that we can start training ourselves to really speak with and change our vocabulary as we're trying to spread life with this tool that God has given us. So the first thing that I want to point out is the last half of Proverbs 18, verse 21, before we get to the death and life thing. The last line in 18:21 says, "Those who love it will eat its fruits." This is basically kind of a picture that shows up all throughout the Bible, this idea of you reap what you sow. The things that you say, the things that you put out in the world are going to affect your life and the lives of others. It's a basic principle that God uses, this kind of farming metaphor. And so I think it's safe for us to kind of view this as everything that we say is kind of a seed planted that we're going to end up reaping later on down in our lives or down the road. And so if we have words full of tearing down or rudeness or brashness or different things like that, we'll end up reaping misery and pain and frustration and all those types of things in our life. But on the flip side of it, if we're speaking words of life and kindness and gentleness, then we'll reap happiness and peace and good relationships and fulfillment and all those other things that come from that type of sowing of those words. And that's almost exactly what James says about the influence and the trajectory of our life is based on our words. Look over at James chapter 3. We're going to visit this again near the end of the lesson, but we'll start with kind of the word pictures that James uses. In James chapter 3, starting in verse 3, James says, if we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great things. James's kind of message there is look at other images of how something really small can affect the entire trajectory of something really large. We have horses. I know some people here, I know Kim and some others, spend some time with horses and horse riding. It's just a really small piece of equipment that you need to control a mighty animal, a really powerful beast. You can change the whole direction that it's moving, the speed that it goes on, or whatever. It's just a small piece of metal, or a ship. It's massive, it can transport all kinds of people, all kinds of goods, but just a small piece of wood at the back of the ship directs what direction it goes. And James says, that's how our lives work. Our lives are really important, and the direction that our life goes is largely impacted and directed by what our tongue says. The words that we speak is going to change our life's direction and the lives of other people that we're with. But not only does it affect the direction of our life and the things that the relationships that we have, Jesus kind of takes it a step further of what our words, what our tongues are capable of doing. Look at Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, Jesus speaking here says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word that they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus goes on to say that not only will your words have a large determining factor in the quality of your life, but they will also determine, in some sense, the destination of your eternal life, the destination of your soul. When we're standing before God and giving an account, I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but when we're standing before God in judgment, the things that we've chosen to say will be on the table of consideration. And that should really make us pause and think, you know, what do I say? You see how the scripture talks about this. There's a lot of power and influence, not just in our own personal lives, in the lives of others that we love or that we speak to, but also in our eternal destination. It really matters, the things that we say. And so I want to just kind of think about some areas of our life that are largely determined, or at least a huge determining factor of the quality of these areas of our life, have to do with our words and what we say. Our words are so powerful to the point that what we say will determine the quality of our marriages. You think about this, and when I was thinking about this, I have so much room to improve on in this. I'm really trying in our relationship. TJ knows I'm not a really good communicator in a lot of ways. But you think about, in your marriage, what's the difference between a marriage that's really happy and joyful and one that is deteriorating? There are probably a lot of different answers and things that you could bring in, but probably the number one thing that anyone would say is the communication level. How is your communication? How do you speak with one another? What are the words that you choose to say? And so the words that we use or the words that we choose not to use will largely affect the quality of our marriages. Not only our marriages, but also our other relationships, parent-child relationships, will be determined by the things that we say, how we speak to one another, the respect that children show to their parents, the gentleness and love and protection that parents show to their children, and vice versa. How we speak to one another affects that relationship. In our careers, our jobs, you think about people who are really well-educated and skilled in some area, but they have no self-control in what they say. they can't keep a job very long. It doesn't matter how smart you are or how much success that you have. If you can't control your words, you're not going to stay in one spot for a long time. People aren't going to put up with that. It really affects the direction that you move in your professional career or in your workplace environment. Also, you know, this church, the relationship we have with one another in this church will, I think, largely be affected, and the quality of the atmosphere here will be determined by how we speak to one another. The things that we choose to say to one another or not choose to say to one another, there's a lot of power behind that, how we encourage one another, the types of conversations we choose to have, building each other up, and also not gossiping or backbiting with one another will really affect the type of environment that we have here. It's either a make or break type of thing in the power that's there. And in all of that, and I've said this before, and almost any time I talk about words, I bring this up. When you look at the Bible picture of what words can do, the statement that I grew up with as a kid just is not true. It's just not a biblical idea where people say sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words do a lot. And in a culture of free speech where we can kind of say anything that we want with no repercussions, that's not the picture that the Bible gives us. Words really matter. They really cut deep. They really have long-lasting effects, not just in this life, but also in our eternal lives to come. And so knowing all of that, knowing that our words are really powerful, that they have extreme implications on our eternal destination and the destination of others, what should that lead us to do? And this is where we're going to go back to Proverbs. I want to notice some principles in Proverbs. Look back in Proverbs chapter 10, in verse 19. The first thing that knowing that our words are really powerful should do for us is it should motivate us to speak less. To say less. If it has that much impact, you shouldn't use it very often. It's a really powerful tool, so watch out how you use it. And that's what Proverbs says. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. You know, knowing the influence and the power and the effect of our words should lead us to not say as many things. When there are many words, this proverb says, there are many transgressions. It's more opportunity to mess up. More opportunity to step on yourself, more opportunity to say things that maybe you shouldn't have said. And so you're better off just not speaking, just not saying that. And again, like what we said before, that's not what our country says. Our country and our rights say everything that you want to, free speech, no repercussions, that sort of thing. But just because you have the right to say something doesn't mean that you should. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on, especially when we get to Ephesians. I want to point out one verse in particular that's helpful. And this can be applied in a lot of different ways. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about humor and joking and that type of speech that we use, but I will say at least this here. I think sometimes maybe when it comes to humor, we give ourselves more freedom to speak or to be inappropriate because it's a joke. And, you know, I'm not really being serious. I'm going to get some more freedom and say a little bit more than maybe I would in a normal situation. You know, maybe we wouldn't talk like that normally, but here it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. That's not the picture that the Bible gives either. The principle of speaking less and seasoning our speech with salt and being really prudent and thoughtful about what we say applies in every type of communication, not just serious conversations, but also in jokes, also in the digital world, and anything else that you could fill in the blank with. And so I want to just make that point here. When words increase, transgression increases in every situation. And so be careful and thoughtful about that when you're just having fun, just making a joke. The more you say, the more opportunity there is to mess up. So watch out in that area. But related to that idea of speaking less, not only should we speak less and watch out and be more prudent and thoughtful about what we say, but we should also think about what we say before we speak. Proverbs says this in a number of different places, but we'll look at two. Proverbs 29 and verse 20. Proverbs 29 verse 20 says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Really striking statement in Proverbs, especially if you know the general tone of Proverbs. You do not want to be the fool. The fool is worthless, hopeless, the kind of pit, the absolute worst situation that you could be in the book of Proverbs. And listen to what this proverb says, even knowing that about a fool. It says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words, who speaks quickly? There is more hope for a fool than for him." That should really make you stop and think. Like, if I speak quickly without thinking, a fool is better off than me. I'm worse than a fool, according to what that proverb says. And also, similar to that, in chapter 15, Proverbs 15 and verse 28, says, the heart of a righteous person ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out all evil things. There's that picture of, you've got this evil man who's just kind of like a fire hose. It all just spews out. No filter. You know, and sometimes we joke about that too. I always don't have a filter. Well, that's a serious thing. That's a wicked, evil thing to just not have a filter. The righteous person, the prudent person, ponders what he says. He filters what he says. He thinks about what he says. He doesn't just throw everything out on the table because that's how I feel. That's what's on my mind. It's not good and it's not beneficial. But that idea of, saying something without thinking about it, my parents told me this a lot whenever I was growing up, that I need to think about what I say, think about what I'm going to say before I speak. Whenever I was preparing for this lesson, I never really asked myself this question seriously, but this is maybe a question that maybe I've had growing up. Okay, you're supposed to think before you speak. What are you supposed to think about when you do that? I think sometimes we do a lot of things and say a lot of things just nonchalantly, but then there's no specifics of, like, what do you mean by that? Like maybe examining in the Lord's Supper. We say you're supposed to examine yourself. Well, how do you do that? What does that mean? Or, what do you think about in the Lord's Supper? Those are important questions to have. If you're supposed to think before you speak, what are you supposed to think about? I think Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 is a really good framework verse of what you should think about before you speak. So we'll look at that, and I want to break it down into kind of three parts. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such is as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Really kind of three big points from this text that I think you can get from what Paul is trying to teach about our speech and what we should do. What you should think before you say something is, first, is it necessary? Do I need to say this or not? Is it a necessary thing, or would it be fine if nothing was said? That's a serious kind of question that we should think about, and it's going to relate to another thing. But is it a necessary thing that will have to be said? And I think in a majority of things that people say, if you look back, it's like, I could have just not said anything. It would have been fine. That brings into James's kind of advice in James chapter 1, where he says, be quick to speak, or quick to hear and slow to speak. Often we're really quick to hear or quick to speak in our lives, but not quick to hear. And if we look back with 20/20 vision, I shouldn't have actually said something. So first, is it necessary what I'm going to say? Then you should also think, is what I'm saying going to be edifying? Is it going to be building up? Is it going to be helpful, benefiting others in some way, shape, or form? And now, what that doesn't mean that we should only say positive words. There is a place for negative words, quote unquote, of rebuking words or really to the point kind of words. Sometimes the most edifying things that we can say to people are really hard things. Stop doing that. Stop being an idiot. Stop being dumb. Open up your eyes. Those kinds of things will sometimes be helpful. But is it for the purpose of edifying and building up what I'm going to say? Is my motivation in this, or the result that I'm seeking, a good motivation? And then the last thing that we should think about is it the correct time to speak? Sometimes something might be needed, it might be really beneficial, it might be building up and edifying, but right now is not the right time to say it. You need to wait for a little bit and say it later. Kind of restrain yourself until maybe tensions have died down or whatever the situation is. But is it the right time? We need to have the discernment to know how to analyze those moments. So that's hopefully just a helpful verse. If you have something on your mind that you really want to say, think about Ephesians 4:29. Is it necessary? Is it good? Building up? And is this the right time? And if any of those questions end in no, don't say it. Restrain yourself. You've thought about it and concluded, this is not something I should say. And I think that'll be helpful for us in going forward. So there's that. Knowing the power of words, we should speak less. We should think before we speak. But then also knowing the power that is behind our words should lead us to ask for forgiveness more readily whenever we sin with our tongue. The sins of our tongue are really damaging. And so when we sin in some particular way against someone, we should really go out of our way to make that right. Now, we should ask for forgiveness in every situation when we sin against someone. But knowing what effect words can have on a person, if we mess that up, we've messed up a really, really big thing. And so that should make us really ready, knowing that we're guilty of that. And I think I can maybe sometimes look back at my life and think about times where I said something that maybe I shouldn't have, that was hurtful, or I said it in a tone that wasn't right. And I think to myself, trying to justify, well, it's not that really that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal, and just kind of sweep it under the rug and not worry about it. But seeing what Proverbs says about words should make us realize that our words are a really big deal, and it is a big deal when we hurt someone with what we say. And so I just want to just pause here. I've been trying to be thoughtful about this and preparing in my lesson. If I've said anything to you in the past, in a tone or in a certain way or something that hurt you or affected you in a negative way, I am really sorry about that. And if there's any way that I can make it right, will you please come tell me that? I don't want anyone to harbor bitterness towards me. I know that I'm not the best in the things that I've said, particularly with my wife. Some of the things that I say or choose not to say, and I'm really trying to grow in that, but also I think with everyone. We need to be willing to apologize and try to change and really try to control the things that we say. They really matter. They really change the direction not only of our lives but other people's lives. So we should be willing to do that, knowing how strong and powerful that they are. So with the rest of the lesson, what I want to do is kind of go back to Proverbs 18:21, that principle of words bringing life and bringing death. And I want to just highlight a few, and this is not an exhaustive list, I think there's three in each category, but highlight a few different types of words that are words that bring death and that we should avoid, and then we'll look, as we wrap up, words that bring life, things that we should really train ourselves to do. The first one is Proverbs chapter 6. So look at Proverbs 6, verse 16 and 17. Proverbs 6, verse 16 and 17 says, "There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue." And then later on down in verse 19, "a false witness who breathes out lies." One type of word that brings death in a lot of different ways are lying words. Dishonesty is very destructive. It kills trust. And when we destroy trust, we destroy relationships. And God hates that here. He hates the destruction of relationships. He hates the breaking of trust. And so if we have lying words on our tongue, if it becomes a habit, then we really need to apply the principles and the wisdom of Proverbs in our speech. We need to really start pondering and thinking before every single question that we're asked. You know, before I say something just off the cuff, is it true? And really reel ourselves in and think about that. In Proverbs 12 and verse 19, says, "Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." What we need to think about if we have lying words in our life is our lies are going to be found out. That's something that my dad always told me, that you can lie to me and you might trick me for a little while, but I'll figure it out. It'll surface eventually. And every single time that I did, it did. That's just the truth. They don't last for forever. If you want to have a good, strong relationship, it's so much less stressful to live honestly. You don't have to follow yourself and keep track of all the different things that you're trying to cover up. You know, our lives have an expiration date. And if we're pondering before we answer, then the truth will be established, and it'll be established forever. We don't have to worry about it anymore, and so that'll just be helpful in our lives. So we need to get rid of dishonesty, get rid of lying that only destroys. The second type of words are in Proverbs 16, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28, words that bring death. It says, "A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him," that's verse 29. Verse 28, "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." And similar to that is chapter 26 and verse 20, where it mentions this whisperer. "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." There's this idea of slanderous or gossiping words, kind of speaking quietly behind someone's back. Whenever there's this temptation to just kind of whisper or speak about someone, the first proverb in chapter 16, verse 28 says that that separates close friends. You can have a really strong relationship. You can have the closest of relationships with someone. And if you speak poorly about them and whisper about them, that relationship can be destroyed. It brings death and destruction in that way. And I heard an illustration about the effect of gossip and how like irreversible that can be. Someone told a story about a guy that didn't really understand the effects of his words, the effect of gossip, and so he went and talked to someone and said, it's not really that big of a deal. You know, you can just go back and apologize and you know, move on. It's not that long-lasting. And so to illustrate the damage that's inflicted by whispering behind someone's back, the man told him, go out into the yard and get a dandelion and just blow the seeds of the dandelion. And so he went and he got it and he blew the seeds like we all did when we were kids and they went everywhere. And then he said, okay, now go get all the seeds. And that illustrates what happens when you say something. You say one thing and it spreads everywhere and you can't take it all back. You don't get to press the rewind button and reverse things. And so what we say about people really affect long-term and maybe even permanently what other people think about someone. Even if it's true or not true, it doesn't matter. If you say something, it starts warping how people view other people. And so we need to be really careful and discerning about what we say in our words and the things that we talk about people. Matt has said this before, and I really appreciate this rule. If it's not something that I would say to their face, I'm not going to say it. And I think that's a good rule. If you won't say it to them, don't say it to anyone. And we need to be that kind of people because it'll have long-lasting effects if we don't. The last one that I want to talk about is in Proverbs 12, verse 18, words that bring death. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. It says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. There's this idea of having harsh or rash words, this kind of quick speaking words. And the proverb here describes those as these sword thrusts that are just destroying, penetrating, breaking deep. And again, I think thinking about that, the rash, harsh, hasty words, we live in a culture that glorifies the person that's really quick-witted. If you can, somebody says something to you and you can lash back really quickly, that's a really admirable quality in our culture. That's not the picture. You know, that cool mic drop moment, that's not a good thing to pursue from the Bible's standpoint. The Bible doesn't praise that. The Bible praises the person who refrains from sharp words. Who doesn't just try to quip back or lash back and get the last word in an argument or a conversation. And you think about why sharp words or rash words like that do bring death. What somebody that's really quick-witted or constantly trying to get the last word does is they really start to kill intimacy in their conversations with people. You know, when there are sharp words exchanged between friends or family or whatever, it really ruins closeness. Think about like this example. We've got in this church, we've got some huggers in this church, people that always greet you with a hug, and that's great. I think that's awesome. Imagine if like, so I'll use Dan Walston because I always give Dan a hug every week when I see him. He always gives me a hug. Imagine if Dan he's still a hugger. He goes up and hugs you. But every 10 times that he hugs you, he has like this little needle and he pokes you with it when he hugs you. But it's not every time, just every 10 times he pokes you with the needle. How many times do you have to get poked before you don't want hugs from Dan anymore? And Dan could say, it's not every time, but it kills the intimacy. When there's that possibility that I might have this intimate moment, but I could get stabbed. I don't want to have an intimate moment anymore. That's the power that our words can have. And so we need to watch out the things that we say. Sharp words really, even if they're sarcastic or belittling someone or passive-aggressive remarks or trying to zing someone with something we say, it changes how close people want to be to us. But if we're healing and kind and gentle and compassionate with what we say, cultivates that intimacy that we really want with one another. So that's words that bring death. Again, not exhaustive, but some things to think about. Then we'll also think about the flip side of it. What are some words that bring life? Now, Obviously, I think first the opposite of all of the words that we just said. Honest words bring life. Words of closeness and healing bring life and those sorts of things. But I want to think about, before we go to this proverb, I want to think about the saying where I heard this, and I've said this before, and I've really tried to analyze it to see if it's actually biblical and right. Sometimes we'll say, if you don't know anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. I'm not sure if that's the best way to approach that biblically. I understand there's benefits not saying something you don't have anything nice to say. But I think that, you know, Ephesians 4 and other places in Proverbs would say, if you don't have anything nice to say, learn. Learn how to say nice things. You need to be a nice speaker. Don't say anything, but train yourself and teach yourself. Learn how to say things that are good and that give life and that help people to grow. And so I want to just think about some specific words that we can use and try to cultivate and be better at in our lives. The first one's Proverbs 31. This is in the section of the wise woman or the worthy woman. Proverbs 31 and verse 26 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." Really, I think it gives kind of two parts of how the worthy woman speaks. Everything that she says is determined by wisdom. So she's pondering, she's thinking about what she's going to say with the wisdom, and what results or what comes out with a tone of kindness. It's kind of filtered through a kindness tone when she's speaking here. And so we need to learn to cultivate that wisdom and those kind words in everything that we say. It doesn't just apply to the worthy woman here, but you can look over, we just got done studying 2 Timothy. One of my favorite verses in 2 Timothy, and maybe in the whole Bible, is this section in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul says in verse 24, "The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone." And then he goes on to say, "able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness," and those sorts of things. But the Lord's servant is a person that's kind to everyone, that speaks with a gracious tone. And that's something Paul echoes in other places in Scripture as well, to let our grace be, or our speech be gracious, seasoned with salt and fitting the occasion and all of that. But if you're not the kind of person, and I struggle with this because I'm monotone and I'm really bad at trailing off, and especially when I'm frustrated, if you're the kind of person that doesn't have the proper tone when you're speaking, get better at it. And I need to get better at using a better tone in what I say, even if I'm being rebuking or in a really challenging, kind of harsh environment or something, I need to train myself to speak in a proper way, in the inflection of my voice and kindness behind my words. Again, that doesn't mean you only say positive things. Sometimes you need to correct and confront someone, but do it in a kind way. It makes a huge difference and brings life in that situation. And going along with that is what the Proverbs say in Proverbs 15. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse 1. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger." Gentle words, soft words, are words that give life. And in this verse in particular, what's really impressive about that is the soft words are answering angry, wrathful words. You know, this isn't just saying that when someone is soft with you, you be soft back. I think it's really easy to do that. If you're just having a nice, calm conversation, it's easy to stay calm, keep your cool, maintain the right inflection, and all those kinds of things. This is saying when someone is screaming at you, be soft. Maybe the hardest time to be soft and gentle, but you still need to do that. That will bring life. That will bring healing in those moments. And then the last thing that we'll point out, and then two final things and we'll be done, is Proverbs 17, verse 9. We already mentioned this a little bit, but we'll emphasize it one more time. Proverbs 17, verse 9 says, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." This idea of forgiving words, of letting things go and forgiving them really bring life and healing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, "Love does not keep a record of wrongs." And if your words keep a record of wrongs, that brings death. If you want to cultivate life, want to move forward in relationships, speak forgiving words and let those penetrate deeply into our hearts. And man, that's hard. It's difficult. It's easy to repeat things, to bring things up, especially when they're hurtful things that happen to us. But if we put them away, forgive, it brings life in that way. It covers all kinds of offenses and promotes love, like what it says in verse 9. And so we need to train ourselves to really be the kind of people that are willing to let things go and forgive and move on and cultivate strong relationships in that way. So again, not exhaustive lists of all the different words that we could think about, but those are some things that we really need to focus on, train ourselves to do and grow in the things that we say and bringing life to people. And so just two final things to think about, and then we'll wrap up this morning. One thing that I'm going to try to do, and hopefully y'all can help keep me accountable in this, and that I would recommend that all of us do, is at the end of our days, something you can do is just look back and kind of take an inventory of the words that you've spoken that day, and really try to consider and evaluate the life-giving words that you spoke to someone, and then also think back on the destructive words that you've spoken, and use that as kind of motivation, and like maybe you can write it down, make a list. I don't know exactly how you would do that, but do that every day and really try to promote a positive trajectory in no death words, only life words. That's going to take a lot of growth. It's going to take a lot of time, but maybe that'll be a helpful thing to do. And then the last thing that I want to do is just go back to James chapter 3, and I want to close with this passage. I have it up on the screen, but you can look in your Bibles also. In James chapter 3, we already read part of this, but I want to finish the context. James 3, verse 5, halfway through verse 5 is where I'm going to start. It says, "How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." You know, you read that and you think about the things that we say. And you read that and kind of come away thinking, where's the hope? Like, how am I ever going to possibly be able to speak in the correct way, to only speak life-giving words and not death-giving words? It's untamable, it's full of evil, full of deadly poison. And I think the reason why James says it in that way is to really emphasize and help us to understand that we really need God's help in taming our tongue. It makes me think about, Troy was talking about the rich young ruler this morning. After that exchange with the rich young ruler, Jesus says it's extremely difficult. Only with great difficulty will a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven. And the apostles say, well, who can be saved? And then Jesus says, well, with man it's impossible. You can't. But with God, all things are possible. And I think the same principle applies with our speech. If we try to just tackle our speech with our own strength, we're not going to be able to do that effectively. We're going to mess up continually. But with God's instruction, with God's grace, with the training of the Proverbs and the training of God's word, it is possible to tame our tongue with God's help. And I think that's the point of what James is saying here. It's not a lost cause. Now, it's easier to tame a lion, James would say, than it is to tame your tongue. But we can still tame our tongues with God's grace and his patience for us. And so I think we should have a really deep reverence and respect for the instructions that God gives us pertaining to the things that we say and how we use our tongues. So I hope that that's helpful in thinking about. I've been thinking about that a lot recently for myself, just not being the most gracious, not being the best speaker in different areas of my life, and I really need to grow in that way. And so I hope that that can be encouraging for all of us to do that, the things that we say and the power of our words and the effect that they have. If this morning maybe you realize that you're in a hopeless situation, you don't have a relationship with the Lord, and you need to have that, we can start that for you. We can help you to come into a relationship with him. You can be baptized, have your sins washed away, and start walking in newness of life. Or if you need the help of the church here, need the prayers of the church here, or any encouragement, you can come forward and talk to me about that now while we stand and sing this song.